All men wisdom stand upright. Let us hear the holy gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The reading is from the holy gospel according to the evangelist Saint Matthew. Let us attend. The Lord said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Father Casey is Modesta from Texas. Good to have you here with us, Father. I don't often get the priests to watch me, so take care, take notes, or help me, Paul. All things will be appreciated. I don't watch TV, as many of you know, so I'm kind of ignorant, I got to say, on some of these things that are going on in the world today, particularly some of the details of what we'll be speaking about today. But as I did some research for our message today out of the Gospel, I came across some names of things you might be familiar with. So I wrote down some of them so I wouldn't forget them. But perhaps you've heard of these before, and perhaps you've used them or know people that have. These are drugs called Lexapro, Ativan, Xanax, and Valium. I didn't realize how big a problem worry is, and anxiety is, and fear is in our world. But the statistics tell us that today, whereas 50 years ago, less than 1% of people in the United States was diagnosed with anxiety or some sort of fear that would require medication. Today, over 10% of our population is on these drugs and drugs like them that I just mentioned. And in some age groups, particularly in women, it's over 20%. Pushing 25%. We all know, and perhaps we ourselves are plagued by this worry that requires even medication with very powerful drugs. These drugs are mind-altering, brain chemistry changing, addictive, they're strong. They're required in many instances to help people with the worry that they suffer from. This is a real serious life
threatening injury, this plague of worry. This resulted in a plague of drug abuse that's greater than that of opioids. It affects more people, more lives. Worry and anxiety in 21st century America is a huge problem. I think it's no coincidence that the rise, this hundredfold rise of worry and anxiety exactly parallels the increase, or I should say rather, the decrease in faith. And so it is that we'd be wise to take a look at today's gospel, where the Lord speaks about worry and he calls it taking thought. Taking thought for various things and all the things that go along with it, all the fear and all the anxiety. He starts off in our gospel today and says that no man can serve two masters. That might seem like an odd starting place for a discussion about taking thought for things or worrying, but it really is the foundation for our understanding of how we can overcome anxiety and fears and worry that gnaws us 24 hours a day. He says that no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other one, or love one and hate the other. You cannot serve, he says, God and mammon. Mammon being an indication of money or the things of this world. He says you need to make a choice. First of all, who are you going to serve? And this choice is foundational to our understanding of how worry takes over our life and requires medication. For it is true that when we choose to serve the things of this world, we're choosing to serve things which we cannot hold on to. Whether it's people or things. Naked we came, naked we go. All our possessions will be gone. And the people that we know will move, or they'll die, or they'll get sick, and finally we'll die. If we set our hearts on serving the things of this world, we are truly in for a rough ride.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. But the contrary is a choice that we can also make. You can make a choice to serve God. That choice puts you in quite a different place to start conquering worry. For when we choose to serve God, we make a choice to ground ourselves in one who is eternal, who never changes, who never falls, who never suffers decay. And so we've latched our life onto something which is solid, which is firm, which doesn't move, which we don't have to worry about losing. And so this choice sits atop of our discussion of worry. Not my choice, but Jesus Christ's choice to say that you can't serve two masters. So if we're going to have a discussion about thoughts and what we take thought for and what we are concerned with in this life, we do well to consider, first of all, have we made the choice to become a servant of God? But I think we need to describe a little bit more about what that choice is and what it requires of us. You see, to become a servant is something which is final. It's serious. It's deep. It's not superficial. When we become a servant, we put ourselves in a position to serve, whether we want to or not, whether we feel like it or not. It's not any longer about our will. It's about His will. And so when we choose to become a servant of God, yes, we get the benefits of latching ourselves to God and becoming one with Him who cannot change, who changeth not. But at the same time, there is a cost, and we need to count that cost. But I would submit to you that one of the great benefits of making the decision to serve God and to turn your back on the things of this world is that you will gradually, if not completely, get rid of worry, at least make a big dent in it. And so what it is in this context that the Lord says immediately after he says you cannot serve God and mammon, then he says immediately, he says, take no thought for your life. Once I am Jesus Christ's and he is mine, I serve him. I have no need to take thought for my life. Why? Because my life now is Christ's life. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Even if my life was taken away, I gain. And how beautiful a picture that is of why it is that we need to take no thought for our life if we've chosen God as our master. When we choose Him immediately, the Lord says, then take no thought. And He says, you don't need to take thought for a lot of really important things that we need. In another place, Jesus said that with clothing and raiment and food, be content. Very little should be required to make us content. And He says, for your life, let me define it, He says. Don't worry. He says, don't think about what you are going to eat or what you're going to drink or your body, what you're going to put on. For He says, your life is more than these things, than meat or body or raiment. He says, make the choice to follow me. Make my life fully, completely your life. And then take no thought. How can it be that we take no thought? You know, I made a list of things with my wife the other day in the car. We were driving back from dropping our kids at camp in New York. About what taking thought is. And maybe some of these things will touch your life. Taking thought is an active process, by the way. It means we kind of focus on there, we kind of zero in, we kind of get wrapped up in our thought. We take that thought and we put it right in front of us, we just kind of camp there. These are the kind of things that contour our thoughts that are worried, that Jesus said we shouldn't be taking thought of, because these are things of this life. And your life is more than this life, He says. Once you're mine, and I am yours, these are the things that bother us. They're concerns over children, over loved ones, over jobs, over income, over politics, over death, over illness, over grades if you're in school, over pets, sick animals, loneliness, being worried about being alone, being worried about our self-image, what we look like, how we feel about ourselves, what our weight is, and what our spouse's weight is. All these things, even the weather, worry about. The list, the things that you can worry about is huge. And this goes on like you sit here forever, and so could you. We can make a list of things we worried about, and then perhaps what you were worried about, and go on and on and on and on. But Jesus says, when we come to Him, we should take no thought about things of this life, even though we might need these things. What's interesting about worry is that we worry about things that we really need to be worried about, that really don't matter. Jesus says, you don't need to be taking thoughts for these things. He says, all these things, you've got to recognize, He says, your Father feeds even the birds of the air. You see, you think sometimes you're all alone in your struggle. But if you're God's, God is able to feed you. God feeds the birds of the air. He says, aren't you worth more than that? You're not alone in your struggle. And when you see yourself as alone, you've got a good reason to be worried. But when you see God as your Father, He's able to feed you. He's able to clothe you and to give you what you need in this life. He clothes the grass. He does everything that's required. But perhaps not everything you want. And that's where the rub is. I think that where Jesus said we should be content with food and raiment, we seek so much more. Our grasp is so large. We're trying to sweep so many things into our life. Where He says, let go of those things. Don't seek these things. We're really reaching for ourselves and for others for things that perhaps God doesn't even want you to have. And then when we can't hold on to them, or we can't get them, we worry. So many of these things don't profit. We worry sometimes, too, about things that are beyond our power to worry about. And He touches on this when He says, which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? You ever want to play in the NBA? Feel like if you'd only been 6 inches taller, you could have made it? Or if your fingers just moved a little faster, you could have been a concert pianist? The Lord says, you have limitations. You have limitations for yourself and for those around you. That you may want things to occur They've got limitations too. And one of the limitations you have is you have a limitation to help them overcome such things in the physical and the spiritual realm that are beyond your ability to control. God says, really, the crux of the matter here, the reason why you worry is what he says here. After he says, God clothes the grass, which today in the field is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more he clothe you. And then he says this, the nail on the head, kaboom, O ye of little faith. Our faithlessness is at the bottom of our worry. If we were really truly believing that God is our Father and he's able to deliver us from everything that we need to be delivered from, then we wouldn't be worried. But our problem is, and why we get so wrapped up in all these things and worry, is that our faith really isn't that great and our commitment to God is not that great. And we see the things in this world as more important than him and than the spiritual life. And our lack of faith weakens us. Our trust goes out the window, our hope goes out the window, and all we see is the mountain in front of us. These mountains can be big, they can be real. But when we see God between us and the mountain, we don't see the mountain anymore. And God's calling us to see him first and foremost. He gives us a prescription at the end of our gospel today, saying that the Gentiles, in other words, the ones without faith, the ones with no faith, they seek after all these things in this world. Don't be like them, he says. But he says, rather, here's what you need to do so that you won't take thought. He says, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things I'll take care of. They'll be added unto you. God is saying to us that if we actively seek his kingdom, not just in our thoughts, but in our deeds of righteousness, that God puts things together for you. And your worries and your fears become subsumed, and in fact, they shrink and they go away because God gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and all you see is him and what his will and his desire is. What his will and his desire are will not be thwarted if you cooperate with him. We honestly have a Savior that loves us. He stands there calling at you. He says, are you plagued by worry, by fear, by the components of worry, which are anxiety and fear? Are these things wrapping your life up? Don't you have peace? Like we talked about the conscience last week. Because I want to give you all this. And the way to get over your worry and your fear is not to try to remove all the things that cause worry and fear, because something else will just sweep in its place in the vacuum. He says, but rather, it's to ground yourself in me, in my will. Seek my kingdom. First, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, my righteousness, and all these things I'll take care of. You know, worry may never go away. I think that the reality of this every day we're under assault. Some new thing occurs, which we could worry about, right? So we're always compassed about with this infirmity of this world and causes to worry. Life's constantly throwing changes and decay and temptations at us. But if we focus on God, and we focus on his kingdom and his righteousness, the worry will go down, and the peace will go up, and you will find that in him is the antidote for worry. Might God help us to put away all these things of the world and all the drugs of the world, and all the things that man does to hide and distract himself from the reality of the fact that God is the solution to our problem when it comes to work. And might we draw unto him in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.